chatting about a really important subject with Psyched Mommy. And it's the topic of understanding you after baby. So it's a big, loaded subject, and I'm really excited to get into it. You guys had a lot of awesome questions, which is not surprising to me because it's such a confusing subject and one that I'm really excited to tackle today. So as soon as she comes on here, someone let me know and we will make sure we kick off this conversation. Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm really excited to, this is like one of the bigger subjects that I feel like I just talk about so much with my girlfriends anyway. And it's such a loaded subject with so many different backgrounds, so many different situations. And I was just reposting some of the videos and clips that you've done over time that kind of touch on so many different parts of understanding the you after baby, because whether it's your body, your emotional state, your time management, your relationship, like everything is just so different. And it's, you know, it's amazing and it can be so beautiful and so wonderful and also very confusing and overwhelming as well. But this is also like one of the biggest subjects that I feel like you talk about and focus on. So why don't we start off by talking about why this is such a big subject that you focus on so much.
I'm so glad we're talking about this today. So, you know, I think that maybe I had heard like how much things change when you welcome a baby, but it wasn't until I welcomed my baby that I was like, wow, this rocked my world in great ways, but also in some ways I didn't anticipate. And it really got me thinking, and especially as I was meeting with so many parents, particularly with mothers, how much it was the same story. Every story was like, I just don't feel like myself. I don't know, like I lost this part of me, or I don't know how to manage this. And it's a very universal experience that particularly mothers have, and there's a term for it. And when we enter motherhood, it's this period of transition. It's a big transition.
Right.
It's like the mother of transitions, no pun intended, but we refer to it as matrescence. And it's this time of change where everything is shifting, just like you had mentioned. You know, our relationships are changing, our bodies have shifted, our emotional state is different. And we're going through these growing pains and they feel so uncomfortable as we're trying to get our footing. And it's really similar to adolescence, when we are trying to understand who we are, and it doesn't feel good as we're navigating those changes in our teenage years. And it's very similar as we enter motherhood. There's some differences, obviously, when we're, you know, teens, we're trying to form our identities and we're trying to separate ourselves from our parents. But as we enter motherhood, we're noticing my identity's shifting. I don't know who I am. And a lot of our identity formation as adults is really place on what we do. You know, it's like the first question people ask you, what do you do? And for so many of us, before we welcome a baby, it is that. Mm-hmm. I'm a, you know, fill in the blank. This is what I do, or this is what I like. And when we become parents, it's really tricky. And it, like I said, it just feels like the ground is kind of loose below you, like underneath you. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to understand, okay, well, who am I now? And that's this constant question that we ask ourselves, like, well, who am I now?
Yeah.
And I'm super passionate about this because, like I said, almost every single parent I've met with brings this up. And I know that I experienced this personally. So my biggest goal is, okay, I don't want a parent out there, I don't want a mother out there to feel like I'm alone in this. I'm the only one that feels this way.
Yeah. But at the same time, to me, I look at all of my close girlfriends that I talk to, and like, this is such a big subject that, you know, we all talk about again, that has so many different legs to it. So it can be like 1 week frustration with a partner, 1 week frustration with your body, another week, something completely different. But if it's something that we're all going through and something that you're saying that every single one of the moms that you talk to and that you work with has the exact same thing, it's always interesting to me, like, why aren't we talking more about this in an accepting way? Because it seems like everybody experiences some version of this at some point.
Yes. Great question. And I think it's like, it's not sexy to say that I'm not enjoying this or like something's right. really challenging for me. And I don't know if that's the best way to put it, but when I think about it, when we think about like the ideal of motherhood, like this conceptualization we've had in our minds since we were younger, and what we think of like what a quote unquote good mother is, right? She is gentle. She is selfless. She is joyful. She's patient. She's all these things. What people don't paint a picture of the good mother is somebody that's at her wit's end. She's frustrated. She's mm-hmm. not loving every second of it. She's frustrated with her partner. She doesn't like her body doesn't feel like this goddess like being, and she is just not enjoying every minute of it. So the hard part is that it comes with some shame. And we don't feel like we can share it authentically because we're fearful of maybe what others will think of us. And I think there's this fear that if we say this is hard, people will equate it to, I don't love my child. And that is where I think there's a distinction where it's like, this is really tricky because I want to say that I love being a mother, but maybe I don't love motherhood and all the other things that come along with it. Mm-hmm. And those are two very different things.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like when it comes to like questions that people had written in and asked about, and also just like my own conversations that I have, I feel like the biggest challenge for people is time management. So like, and what I mean by that is like time for your friends, time for your partner, time for yourself. There's so much emphasis on making sure that you have time for yourself and time for, I guess, like the old version of you that maybe you feel like you should still have or still be, and you're not that person. And I feel like that even puts so much more pressure on you to like figure out how you can divvy up your time to focus on the things that maybe you used to focus on. And I find for myself that like the things that maybe I used to focus on are the old me or the version of me that was pre-children, some of those things I think like, oh, that's the old version of me. Is the new version of me, do I even care about those things? And oftentimes it's like, no, I don't. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that allows me to kind of accept this like new part of my life a little bit more, but it's also like this kind of, I feel like this conversation around having time for yourself or giving yourself, you know, self-care, time to do certain things that you love is a very new conversation. Because if you talk to any parents of, you know, like our parents, that was never a conversation. Like my mom says, like, now is the time that I have time for me. Like I didn't have, there was no conversation around like when you guys were little, there was no conversation like, are you having enough me time? But it is a conversation now, and one that I feel like is probably the biggest struggle for moms today is finding that time. And I'm sure you talk a lot about that, but what would be your kind of tip on that?
You just brought up so many good points. And these are conversations I have with my mom as well. And I think that I'm really glad that things have shifted and we are talking about the importance of self, you know, prioritization, because what ends up happening is if we don't take any time for ourselves, we really overinvest in our parenting role and our motherhood role. And then we're kind of left to figure out, who am I at that point? You know, like my kids are gone, they're out of the house, and they're like, what do I like? You know, what do I want to do? And what brings me joy? And I don't want to wait until that point in my life to figure out who I am, what I like, and what brings me joy. I think the piece about finding the time to do all these things, it sounds impossible because most often it kind of is impossible. Like, how many hours do we have in a day? Can I really, you know, do all of these things? So there's a piece of it that it's like, well, we got to be realistic with ourselves. This isn't going to be some like really perfect recipe. I really struggle with the conversation around balance because there's like, it's a fallacy to some degree. It's like, you're going to prioritize something. And when you prioritize something else falls. And we have to be okay with dropping those balls. Like, we, as therapists, a lot of people on social media will like present this image of, you know, you have some glass balls and some that are plastic and like you're juggling them all. So there's the ones that we've got to keep and, you know, hold on tight to. And there's the other ones where you're like, well, I can let that fall. What are those priorities that shouldn't be at the top of my list? For me personally, because I'm not going to tell people like what they need to do and what their priorities should be. Like, my house is a mess right now. My house is a mess. My laundry room, I wouldn't show it to you. Like, there's things that I've had to let fall because I recognize that I needed something else right now. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that looks like my career is taking first place. Sometimes it means I was all in with my family. Sometimes it was I was doing all the things that refuel me. But we're never going to have it all in line, going at the same time at the same pace. So it's really prioritizing what works today, knowing that they're not going to always be in that same position. But I also think one of the most important things that we can do is just pay attention to like what our beliefs are about what's important. We are under a lot of pressure to perform as moms and as parents. You know, it's like this perfectionistic idea of all the things that we should do. You hear about like the Pinterest mom. And I mean, I want to be that mom. So deep down inside me, I'm like, I can do this. Mm-hmm. But there's so much pressure. And I think part of it is saying like, well, what am I not going to subscribe to? Because this is actually negatively impacting me. How can I, you know, take some space here? I always talk to my clients about like leaving space for like that margin. We need margin in our lives. And so many of us are overscheduled. We are like, there's no margin. And if you read any book, you see the margin space. There's like a little space for us to take notes and mm-hmm. to like share our thoughts, to really process things. It looks visually appealing. But when our lives have no margin and they are just from, you know, side to side of the page, we can't do that. And it's really important for us as parents to say like, okay, I need to have a boundary here. I can't do that thing because I'm not saying I need to go, you know, on a spa day. I just need a day to not be running around. So it's tricky. And I think part of it is really understanding like, what are the pressures of the outside world that I'm actually like running in the rat race with people, and that I can just say like, that's not for me. I don't need to, you know, to do this just because everybody else is doing it. And I think there's just so much pressure on parents right now to do more, to be more. And that takes away from like the refueling of ourselves.
When you have someone come and say to you, like, I feel lost after having a baby, or feel lost after becoming a mom, and I don't recognize myself. How do I find me again? What do you say?
This is a valid experience. So first we will validate that experience. And I will start with just talking about like the natural transitions in life that make us really question our identity and who we are. If we are going through a divorce, we're moving, we're starting a new job, the birth of a child, anything that requires major change and transition is going to put us in a place of like identity, like restructuring and trying to figure out, okay, what now? How do I fit in here? What does this new me look like? And what is she like? What does she enjoy? What is she good at? So there's a part of this that's like, this is normal, and it's an opportunity to become better acquainted with ourselves. So much of it is like, we feel sad about what we've lost. And like, it feels like that person is so, you know, far gone. And it's really an opportunity for us to focus on like, okay, well, there's this me right now. I'm not going to say it's the new me, the old me, it's just the me right now. What is it that I like? So we really focus on finding these anchors of, okay, what were the things I enjoyed before? Are those even in like the realm of possibility for me? Do they even sound appealing? Like you said, some of those things for me, no. Like, why did I care about that? You know, it's just a very, you know, like an awakening. And then there are some things that you're like, gosh, I really wish I could get back to that. I wish I could, you know, maybe make that a priority in my life. Or, you know, this is something absolutely new I've never done, but I'd like to check it out. And we really map out these anchors of what feels good. And I will usually start this off with like a brainstorming, like, I almost said project, but we're not doing projects, like an activity where we are just coming up with things that sound appealing. And we always go back to like, what makes you feel the most like you? This is a hard question, but what is it that you do, whether it was before, now, or something about that you just feel like, I feel like me when I do this. And I have my own things. Like I like to sing and I'm not a great singer, but I love to do it. And when I do it and I do it with my family, I feel like me, it feels good to me. So we want to pay attention to what those activities are, what the, like what it looks like and doing more of those things. But it's not just, you know, the activities, it's just prioritizing yourself in little ways. I know parents don't have a ton of time. So it's like, well, what can I do? What anchors can I put in place from here to there that are going to help me be grounded in just me? I'm not doing it for my family. I'm not doing it for my neighbors, my like friends. Actually, I'm doing this for me. And so a piece of that is establishing really good boundaries. By nature, mothers are like, we overextend. We want to make everybody happy. We want to care for the people we love. We want to serve. And there's going to be a piece of that where we have to say, okay, well, in order to show up the best way I can as a mother, mm-hmm. I do have to say no sometimes. I do have to, you know, tell those around me, I can't do those things because I'm prioritizing myself. So it kind of goes against what we're programmed to do and really establish who we are.
There was someone who just wrote, and I had this question come up a couple of times as well, just about like, if you carve out some time in your day or your week for yourself, like if that's going to get your nails done, or if that's calling a friend or calling a family member, whatever, going on a walk, whatever it is, that there's a huge amount of guilt that you feel that comes along with that. Like, oh, I'm taking time to go on a walk by myself. I feel so bad. I should be hanging out with my kids. I should be, you know, at home doing X, Y, and Z, or, you know, paying attention to my partner, whatever the thing is that, you know, is it really worth it? Or does it make sense if you go carve out your time for yourself, like your me time, and then you sit there and feel guilty the entire time?
So this is like a two-part thing that I would look into. This would tell me like, how do I uncover early messages that have taught me that caring for myself means I'm not doing a good enough job. So like with caring for those I love. And this is a really big part of identity work is what are those early messages I learned about being like for me, like being a woman, being a mother, what were the examples I had? I grew up, my mom, I knew she loved us. She still loves me a lot, but there's a lot of like self-sacrifice that happened. And in a sense, that felt like the right path because when you're seeing it, it's modeled to you. You feel like you have to do it. You feel like that's the right way. So there, we have to really uncover some of those early experiences, the messages, and like even the current messages that we see about what motherhood should look like. That's the one piece. The other piece is like really tracking this. Like if you're into data, this is for you. If you're not, this is still for you. But it's all about like identifying, okay, how do I feel when I don't care for myself? And when I don't care for myself, maybe I'm finding myself feeling more burned out. I'm more cranky. I'm more irritable in my interactions with my partner, with my kids. And so when I take that time away, what does it feel like? In the moment, it might feel unsettling and I might feel that guilt. But do I ever come back and feel just a little bit better? Do I have more space to show up in a way that's meaningful for my family? Actually practice this, the easier it gets. It's like you're really doing something that doesn't feel comfortable. And with anything that you're doing, like any muscle that you're working out, this doesn't feel comfortable. It's short pieces of practice that we're engaging in that end up making this sustainable and something that we can do. So I always tell parents to like track it. Okay. I mean, when you don't take a break, how are you feeling? Because I know you're not feeling good. You're here. You're talking to me about it. You're talking about how burned out you are. You're talking about how angry you're feeling at and or the resentment that's been stewing. So we really have to like look at what are the risks of not caring for myself.
I mean, going off the whole resentment conversation and just like the anger conversation, I know that's something that you talk about a lot. It's something that I've seen people that I follow repost a lot when it comes to the partner anger, partner resentment after becoming a parent or you know, adding another child to your family or just in general, what are kind of like, I know obviously that's like a huge subject in itself is just like partner resentment and anger. And then there's like, you know, some of it that I feel like is normal that you kind of like text with your girlfriends about or like kind of make fun of. But then there are people, of course, who have a huge amount of anger and resentment on the daily with their partner just about how uneven the load might be. Mm-hmm. What's kind of your little like thought on that?
How much time do we have?
I know. No, I'm
kidding. There's so much to unpack here, but just like the quick and dirty of this. Resentment shows up and is actually one of the biggest things. It's actually the biggest thing I find that comes up in sessions and like even on social media.
Resentment just towards the partner?
Yes. Most often this is resentment towards the partner. Like if you're in a partnered relationship, this is a big thing. And what we find, and this is not like my idea, this is based in research, is that more often than not, mothers are carrying the load, the invisible load of motherhood, which is, you know, the cognitive stuff that they're carrying in their brain, all of the things that you have to remember that you're like, why isn't my partner thinking about this? You know, like, did you think about the water bottle that we need to take? I mean, this is maybe an argument I got into this week. I don't know. like just being really honest here, or just like the physical demands of, you know, carrying a child, laboring a child, going through just the things that it takes to raise a child physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, the load that mothers carry. And most often than not, moms are doing more of that. And it feels really unfair in the partnerships. And that is where that resentment shows up, is when mothers in particular, that's, I'm speaking to this particular experience, will feel this resentment start to stew, where it's like, I feel like this isn't balanced. It feels unfair. And I feel like I'm doing more and I don't want to have to ask you. So this is tricky, because what most often, like the complaint is, I don't want to have to tell somebody what to do. I don't want to have to, you know, train one other person to raise children. And I don't want to tell you like exactly what to do and make more lists, because now this is just adding more to my load. And this causes feelings of resentment, which can be really toxic to a relationship, because if they are left unresolved, it can erode that partnership, where you feel like you lose trust, you don't feel connected, you feel like you're more angry and irritable. And then the little things start to result in like, we're going to get into an argument. You left a dish out in the sink, out on the counter, and now I'm like yelling about it. But it's really not about the dish.
Right.
It's about all of those things that you feel like have got, like you've done this work, it's unnoticed, you don't feel validated, you don't feel seen in your experience. And then this other person just doesn't feel like they're carrying their weight. And I didn't sign up for this. Like that's the general theme that comes up in treatment, particularly with new parents.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like just telling moms like you're doing a great job goes such a long way. And it's such a simple statement to say and to make, but it's one that I feel like has such an impact no matter what is going on. Just like the acknowledgement of, you know, of how much it takes to, you know, get kids out the door, or how much it takes to make sure everybody's fed and happy, like all the little things that I think before becoming a parent, you don't realize how much. Like there are so many things that since I've become a parent, I go back to my mom and I'm like, oh my God, thank you. So like, how did you do that? How, like, you know, you just like manage so many different things. Like it's really, and I reposted that video that you shared, you know, of the load that moms carry, which is like this invisible load, because you are always thinking, you're like, you know, even at night when you're supposed to be kind of winding down, you just sit there and you're like, so then how is someone going to get from point A to point B tomorrow? And does this person know this? It's just like constant.
Yes.
So I think that that's like a really, a big subject, obviously. And one that I wonder, like, you know, do you just like accept that that's the way it is? And that's kind of like the happiest, or do you just like,
definitely not. I don't recommend it. I think a really good starting point, I mean, obviously, I think seeing a couples therapist is an incredible tool. I am obviously a proponent of therapy. I think therapy is great.
Sure.
And we can all see a therapist and we can all benefit from therapy. But I do think that a really good starting point is to identify this, like to acknowledge it and bring it to, like, what I always talk about, bringing what's invisible to become visible. Mm-hmm. And it's really important, even though it feels like another chore, but it's important to say, like, hey, this is how I'm feeling. I'm noticing that I'm responsible for X, Y, and Z. And I'm noticing when I do all these things, it does feel like what's happening in our family is like imbalanced. And I don't like the way that feels. And I'm noticing I'm more irritated toward you because of it. And it's a good strategy to just come up, like, together, think about, like, what are all the responsibilities and who do we both expect, come up to this mutual agreement, who's going to do what? And when we can mutually agree, when there's agreement and buy-in, it feels way more fair. And I'm not saying this has to be even, because there's this misconception that things have to be split completely even for them to feel fair. And that's not the case.
Right.
I know, like, in every season, one person is going to be able to carry more or do less. And that is part of the agreement. It's like saying, well, I know that you're not going to be able to do this, but I'm agreeing to this with you. So it feels fair. It feels good. It feels like we came to an agreement as a team rather than I just kind of got defaulted into this position where I'm just doing it because that's the way it's been for so long.
Yeah. I mean, the part about, like, laying out the responsibilities or the things that need to get done and dividing them up. I remember when my husband and I did that, and it's, as you said, it's not necessarily like you have to have five things and you have to have five things, but it's like, what are the things that you're great at? And what are the things that I'm great at? And, like, dividing those up so everybody can succeed and be happy and helpful. And having a conversation about that, of course, is, you know, such a huge gift to be able to have someone who's willing to have a conversation about that, because I see so many relationships where that's, like, not even something that is going to be happening in a conversation. But I think that the idea of being able to lay all those out, and, you know, they don't always go the way that you intended them to go, but at least you have a conversation about, like, okay, you're going to handle all the food for the children. That's how ours is, like, you know, my husband's going to handle all the cooking for the whole entire family. So, like, that's, you know, very clear that I'm not going to be trying to, like, whip up.
I love that.
Yeah.
Write that one down.
Yeah. But, like, I think that those conversations, this generation of parents, and my mom always says this to me, she's like, these are conversations that we never had. Like, we rarely had in our parents' generations didn't really, of course, the whole conversation around mental health and therapy and couples counseling, all these things are such big popular topics now, thankfully, and they weren't when our parents were having children, and we get to have the benefit of having those be okay conversations and subjects to be talking about.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And we definitely we're seeing a shift in, you know, parent engagement, like with fathers doing more than they've done in the past. I mean, there's also some differences in culture. Like, you're seeing way more, you know, two parents who are in the workforce. And so it just makes sense for so many of the things we have to talk about them, right? We have to talk about them. And I think that's what makes for a happy partnership.
For
there
sure.
is nothing worse than feeling like you're not on the same team with the person that you're with, or mm-hmm. feeling like I'm feeling bitter and I don't like the way I'm feeling. But bringing it to the table. And I always, this is the one thing I tell every couple, is that we want to present a message the way that we'd like to receive it. I definitely don't want my husband to come at me and be like, you need to do this better because you really suck at it. Or, you know, I'm sick of you doing this, that, or the other. And I think part of it, it's like what we talk about in therapy is that we want to identify a positive need that we have instead of all the criticism of what's going wrong. Instead of saying, you aren't doing this, you're not measuring up to that, and pointing the finger and blaming, we want to talk about what our partner can do to support us. You know, I am feeling frustrated. It would really help me if you would do this. Name whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I would feel better supported if you could take on this task. It would really make me feel better about this whole situation. So when we can do something with a request, but we can't necessarily do a whole lot with the criticism. And often when we're being criticized, we get defensive. It doesn't feel good. I don't feel good if I'm, you know, you get that criticism, it's almost like your wall comes up immediately.
For
so
sure.
There's a way that we do this that's respectful, and we keep that common theme, like that goal in mind of, my goal here is to resolve this so we're working together, so that we enjoy one another and we're doing this as, like, we're tag teaming this. mm-hmm. instead of, I want to make you feel small because I'm hurting right now. Yeah. And so just keeping that in mind, it's just, it's so important.
Yeah, no, it's definitely important. And it's, I feel like in all the books that I read before I had my first daughter, I feel like they were all had kind of like side notes in them of, you know, make sure your partner isn't neglected, make sure you, you know, you're focusing 100% on the baby, but, you know, don't forget this big partnership aspect of, you know, your life. And I think that that to me was like such an interesting perspective, because there is so much, especially when you become a parent for the first time, that is focused just on mom and baby. And then, you know, you might not pay attention to your partner or your relationship, and then get to a point where you're like, oh my gosh, I, you know, that, you know, fell by the side, and I need to, you know, pay more attention to that or have conversations around it even ahead of time to just like, you know, be on the same page about what could occur. I'm like a huge fan of, if you have the opportunity to go to therapy, couples counseling, any sort of, read the books, like all these different things, or listen to the books on a walk.
There you go. That's better. I like that.
Yeah, I know. It's, I think these are such important subjects that you're tackling and that you're talking about, and ones that I think really resonate to the moms of this generation, because the way that you talk about them on social media is, you know, quick and to the point, and also allows so many moms to feel seen and heard through the way that you talk about them.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. That's the goal. And I mean, it's hard. Parenting is hard, no matter how you explain it, no matter what the position we're in, and you know, what our family dynamics look like or the supports we have. And I think it's just really important to know that we're always evolving. Obviously things can always be better, but we're doing the best that we can. And I think that's so important, is to acknowledge that each of us is trying our best, right? It's like, we all are like, I don't want to mess up our kids. That's like, I don't want to mess up my kids. That's something I hear all the time. And it's like, we're thinking this. It's, we care deeply. And the moms that I meet with care deeply. And I think we are really hard on ourselves. And mm-hmm. that's just not the way it's supposed to be. Because I feel like, yeah.
Are you surprised at how popular your account and also just like what you talk about is, or is this not surprising? I mean, I'm sure it's obviously like a huge compliment to you and to all the work that you do, but I mean, it's like boomed, and I don't know if it's like the pandemic time and moms feeling like they get support from an account like yours, or from you as someone that they kind of like can almost have a relationship with on Instagram, or has it been like surprising or interesting or eye-opening for you to see that boom in everything that you do?
So surprising. I like always tell people this happened by accident.
Right.
Couldn't have imagined it. Couldn't have guessed that it would ever happen. I started just posting a little bit 4 years ago, I think, about just like perinatal mood and anxiety disorders and some of the things that can happen when you bring home a baby. And, I was like, people are more interested in this than in me. You know, they don't care about my picture of me and my baby. They want to know this. So, and it was so fascinating when it was like, oh my gosh, you're in my head. How did you know this? And then I noticed, okay, this is important work and more of this needs to be done, because obviously when we speak on the topics that we talk about, it kind of, I guess you would say, it like unlocks someone's experience so that they're not so isolated, mm-hmm. and they feel like they're walking the journey with somebody else. And I know it's like virtual, and obviously I'm here on social media and I'm not with people in their living room, but they just feel less alone. And that was the goal. So it was really just infrequent posting about these topics. And yes, if you would have told me several years ago that this would become a big part of my life, I would have laughed. But yeah, so it does really identify the need that more like education on some of these topics just need to continue. The conversations need to continue. And we hope that no parent feels alone.
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously you're doing an incredible job at that, which is why you have such success in what you're doing. But I also like, there were a bunch of questions about how do you not feel lonely after becoming a parent? And I feel like you know, by doing this virtually and running your account so well, have really been able to probably have a lot of people say they feel less alone by being able to feel like they have a connection with you and with what you're saying and what you're talking about. Because, you know, especially for people who became parents or who, you know, were already parents during COVID, especially to young children, it can feel lonely and isolating at times, of course. So being able to have accounts like yours where people feel like they almost have like a partner in their parenting journey, even though they might not know you, but I'm sure that's like a big theme that you've gotten when it comes to the response to what you post.
Yes. I actually have like a folder I started of screenshots of messages I get from people. Because on the really hard days where I'm like, is anybody listening? Is anybody reading? I go back and I look at the messages and I'm like, wow, okay, this work is really important. And there's a lot of people out there that need this. They need this message. So yes. And as COVID approached, I noticed it was like, COVID was like a doubling of the postpartum journey that can already feel isolating. And a lot of parents, it was like, not only is postpartum isolating, but now you add this layer that I really feel isolated. Like it just feels like there's no way out of this.
Yeah.
And I think it was a good time for us, like just to really sense that feeling of community. Mm-hmm. And the messages that I get from people and just having that dialogue with them has been, it's been great. It really has been. And I encourage people, there's a resource, Postpartum Support International, postpartum.net is the website. And there are free virtual support groups, and you can also find providers all across the globe, not just in the US, but everywhere local to you by geographic region. And there's prescribers, there's therapists, there's virtual support groups, there's in-person support groups. So you don't have to do this alone. That's for sure.
That's amazing. I'm so grateful that you shared that, and we'll make sure to put that you know, below in the caption and also in the newsletter, because it is so important for people to be able to have that support that they need. And you're doing such an awesome job. I love your, I send something that you post every single day to one of my girlfriends who's going through something. So, I'm grateful for all that you do and for what you talk about and what you post. And, thank you so much for taking time to chat with me today.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. This has been such a great conversation.
Oh, thank you. Well, have a great day, and we'll make sure to share this conversation and all of your amazing info in a little bit.
I really appreciate it.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.